All right, so welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. This is a review for the Cloverfield Paradox, which just magically showed up on Netflix after the Super Bowl. It's directed by Julius Ona. It's written by Oren Uzel. And it stars Gugu Mbatha-Raw, David Oyelowo, and Daniel Brühl. And the synopsis is, orbiting a planet on the brink of war, scientists test a device to solve an energy crisis and end up face-to-face with a dark reality. Keith, what did you think of the Cloverfield Paradox?
About the first half of that movie was going places. That just focused on the space station, that's where it kind of set. The minute when it started, it went beyond the whole paradox and introduced the groundwork for the twist. They telegraphed the twist too much, and it had absolutely no point in it. And I think that's what kind of detracted me from it. So for about the first half of the movie was good. The later half, once they started understanding what was going on, the deaths and the science behind everything just started becoming too far-fetched. This literally was a made-for-TV movie. That's what it felt like. It felt like fan fiction almost. But
there's some troubled production history behind this movie.
There were several things about that I like. I can't pronounce her name either.
Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
Yeah. I liked her character, but in the end, it turned out her character was pretty damn selfish and just self-serving in her own way. The reason and the attempts behind what they were trying to do was too far-fetched. And the entire way that they went about it just was kind of half-assed, as it felt to me. It was kind of like their whole point was to get to the twist at the end of the movie. That was the whole point. And they were justifying all the things that were going on just to get to that point, that big reveal. And it just was no good. It was telegraphed. I could see it coming a mile away. Some of the things that were quite interesting, part where the character Monk was injured. That was interesting. And just kind of the discovery of what was going on, what was happening, that was pretty damn fascinating, trying to figure out what could have happened. Towards the end, it just devolved into the same. The best comparison I can do with this, I feel about this movie the same way I feel about Sunshine.
You know what? That is this. Exactly how I felt. I thought about that movie a lot.
Yeah. It's got this hard science fiction approach and with shit going down and some genuine suspense. And then it takes this left U-turn out of fucking nowhere. I mean, in Sunshine, it was the Burning Man trying to blow up everything because the sun needed to die or some shit. I have no fucking idea what the hell he's doing. And then in this case, you've got some psycho who decides that I don't even know what the motivation was for that type of shit, just to be a bitch or an asshole.
Well, let me chime in before we get into a little bit more about this. So I liked about 45 minutes of this. That
about halfway through.
It is very strong 45 minutes in. The biggest problem with this movie is the writing and the story. And that's where the weakness comes into play. This is really a Star Trek plot in the Twilight Zone that is a hour-long plot that wraps up stupidly. If I had saw this movie in the theater, I would have been super angry at this movie.
I'd have been pissed. I'd have pulled a move like Life where I damn near threw popcorn at the damn screen. I fucking hated this shit. I mean, like, dudes were doing dumb shit. I mean, it was just completely ridiculous. And then if you're going to make a movie in near future with dudes in space, be prepared to spend some goddamn money on some wire effects. Yeah. I mean, there's no other way forward. I mean, the whole, like, we've got artificial gravity is bullshit. Everyone knows it. You know it's not possible. You know machine to generate. And the spin thing, creating gravity, that's limited application. Whatever. I'm not even going to get into the nerd part of this shit. I'm just going to say this shit doesn't make no goddamn sense. All right?
I like the idea that the Earth is running out of energy. That's what sets the whole movie off. I forgot what the space station is called, but...
The SS Shipbox.
But what happens is that they try to do an experiment to generate energy, and they wind up thinking that the Earth disappeared when they might have been transported to a different dimension, different realm. Stuff just starts going crazy. I'm on board with that, and I'm on board with the fact that they had some talent in this movie. There's a fair amount of good actors in this. Weak plot, this weak story, weak writing. The way that it wraps itself up, and particularly the last scene, the very, very last scene, is not what this needed. As somebody that appreciated 10 Cloverfield Lane, I know some people...
I like that shit. It's not some people.
I know I like that shit. Some people on the podcast do not like that movie. I like it.
You say some people. Me. I don't like that
I like that movie. It is a very self-contained movie. you're acting either against yourself or two other people. So it's more like a stage play.
Oh, okay. I can take that from that, man. All right. What I'm saying,
but this, I can understand why this showed up on Netflix. Again, I said it had a troubled production history, and it shows because it seems like it really would be not having the Cloverfield name attached to it and going straight to DVD.
Yep.
And I think probably what happened is that J.J. Abrams might have saw this. It was like, oh, hey, you guys are working on this? Cool. Why don't you stick the Cloverfield name in it? And the last scene, let's do something Cloverfield-ish.
Probably exactly what the fuck happened. Ooh, you know what would be cool? If you did this, that would be cool. That would be really cool. Let's do that. And then they did it, and it was, yeah, it looks like shit. And then J.J. went off and drank his latte and cast his check. Fucking dumbasses. Listen to them all. Didn't he stop listening to them, all right? Stop.
But the character that shows up, so Mina shows up, the first thing science fiction tells you, don't trust a stranger.
Nope, don't trust a stranger at all.
And they are just wholeheartedly letting her.
Well,
there were some issues. David Oyelowo didn't necessarily trust her.
Found some information to support her claims. That is actually the intriguing part. You thought immediately distrusted her, and then it turns out that stuff was being backed up. It was a whole discovery thing. And then the whole matter of who not to trust, and because it's an international crew and the way that things are going on Earth, you kind of figured that all kinds of stuff is going to happen here. A lot of stuff is going to happen between those characters. And if they'd have just stuck with the premise of them trying to get back, trying to understand what's happening, if they even squashed the antagonistic.
Well, let me stop you for a second. Where the movie starts to go wrong is where they start eliminating characters, and that's what you know is going to be the theme of the movie. So you know Mabatha Raw is going to be one of the last characters. And when they start eliminating characters, kind of intentionally, like whatever issues were happening on the ship, and that's like that 45-minute mark.
I agree with that. I literally see what happened. They sat there reading the original script and started saying, we need to ratchet up the tension. And then the best way to know how is to start killing people instead of having them discuss and work the problem. But case in point, they clearly didn't watch other movies that did this far more successfully. Even though it's not a group of people in the same situation, The Martian is a perfect example of literally a perfect survival film.
Yeah.
Like them trying to survive and then make something happen and using their ingenuity and skills to get back. No magical transports, no anything, no fucking saving grace of God, anything like that. It was just pure human trial and error and success. Man versus nature, that type of shit.
Yeah.
But nope, it turned into this Cloverfield shit. I was expecting that goddamn spaceship to come flying in and something like that. And the aliens.
I was waiting for the monster. That's all
I knew that fucking monster was coming. I knew that fucking monster was going to pop up. I mean, I knew that shit was going to pop up. They telegraphed that shit way too fucking early. It was ridiculous. Shit just stuck with the random shit was blowing the fuck up. Holy crap, what's going on here? And then not knowing what the hell, her husband trying to survive and make it out in the world. And next thing you know, he comes down and that fucking Cloverfield thing just comes roaring out of the goddamn background. And you've been like, okay, that's fucked. But it was telegraphed, choreographed. You saw everything coming. You knew what was going to happen. Whatever. Quite honestly, I don't even think they need to do any more of these Cloverfield movies.
I agree.
It's done. Don't call anything else Cloverfield, all right?
It's a tainted name. So, Keith, what score would you give The Cloverfield Paradox?
I will not rewatch this movie. Therefore, it gets below a 6. And Google, she's actually a pretty decent actress. In fact, the acting was actually pretty good.
They had a decent cast.
It was entertaining for the first half. And if you can blank your brain at the last half, the last, I say, 20, 30 minutes, you're fine. You'd be okay, and you think it's a decent film. So I'm going to give this movie a 4.5, only because it reminded me of Life. And that dropped it by like a point. So, there you go. 4.5, that's my score. That's the Beast Game Podcast.
All right. I'm going to follow up your 4.5 with a 5. This movie had so much potential. Again, I talk about the 45-minute mark. There's a decent mystery involved, good cast, decent camera work, but where it starts to fall apart is the story. And then there also seems to be this thing where it has to start trying to do the Prometheus, that type of stupidity.
Oh, God.
Did you not see Prometheus? Did you not see how stupid that was? The acting is okay. Everything is okay about it until you get to where they start eliminating characters. Because the story has to do that. as you said, if they had just focused on, hey, well, if this was Star Trek would just focus on getting people home. That was an episode of Star Trek. It was that one episode where I think the whole crew had amnesia, but there was another guy that was above Riker that was an alien, and he was playing himself off as another commander trying to eliminate a whole entire race. Same thing. But why does this have to do the Prometheus thing where it starts to go down into like some stupid levels? Don't do any more Cloverfield movies. J.J. Abrams, I know you didn't direct this, but stop.
Man, I'm about to tie this ass on.
And that's the Beastgate Podcast.
Wipe this shit up.